Right, the reading I've taken for this morning's message is Psalm 51. I'm only reading 1 to 15. It's a psalm of David after his exploits with Bathsheba. And it reads, "Have mercy, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness. Even in the womb, you taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise." A lovely passage. And hopefully, as we all know, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible, in fact, is the inspired Word of God. And I've entitled this morning's message, "How Sin Affects the Christian." Maybe I should have put a little thing, a caveat at the end of that, "if we let it." Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray now that you will speak to us, and we will learn from all of the things which David has put down in that psalm, all of his feelings when he realized, purely because he was led by the Holy Spirit, of his need to come and seek repentance. So Lord, just let us listen to your word this morning and be fed from it, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are different effects upon a Christian when we sin, and I want to break them down into not a three-pointer, as we normally have in Baptists' missionary, but a six-pointer. 6 points. The first one is, sin dirties the soul. When we feel close to the Lord, when we are feeling fit and in love with the Lord, our spiritual life is at a high, that's when we need to take particular care and watch out, for that's the time when we're most likely to be subjected to attacks from the evil one. Because the devil is a cunning old fox, as scripture tells us. He is just ready to pounce at any time. And he will drive a wedge between us and God if we allow him to. He is well aware that sin dirties our soul. It's a bit like, for those of us who are old enough to remember, when we put a record on the record player and the stylus picked up a bit of fluff, the music was badly affected. And sin can make us feel unclean and ashamed and frustrated. Sometimes, and I say sometimes, mostly, really, we lay the blame or try to lay the blame on other people. It's their fault. It's not our fault. We couldn't possibly be responsible for that. We don't want to take responsibility for our own actions. What's the cure? Well, you're just going to have to wait a wee while longer, and I'll tell you what the cure is. I want to move on to the second point. Sin not only damages the soul, it also dominates the mind if we let it. Sin can take control of us rather than us allowing God to have control. It can often be very subtle, and we may not even notice that it's happening. We can get caught up in all sorts of trivia that we forget about what's important. And we start or continue to do the things that appeal to our own sinful nature, to do our own will and not God's will. That's when Satan will plant doubt and guilt into our minds. Then we may start to question ourselves over past events. What have gone on in the past? Things that we have done that we still remember. You know, we may rake over old things in our lives instead of standing on the promises of God. We need to remember that if we've repented, He has already wiped the slate clean. If we have confessed and repented, those events are in the past. They're of no concern. But again, at times we, on those occasions, we allow the evil one to plant those seeds of doubt in our mind. And you know, they can grow if we let them, if we don't do anything about them. And they can really cripple us. We all know what happens when we try to do things in our own strength, don't we? It usually ends up in tears. Again, what's the cure? We'll leave that for a wee while and move on to the third point. We've already said that sin dirties the soul, it dominates the mind. The third point, sin disgraces the Lord. Satan knows only too well that sin deeply affects our relationship, our walk with the Lord, as well as our fellowship with one another. It can keep us in a state of separation, and he knows that we cannot pose him any threat while we are in that situation. For without God's strength in our lives, we do in fact become ineffectual. Ineffective to him, just where he wants us to be. When we are in this state, he doesn't have to even bother to put any more thoughts of doubt into our mind. He just leaves us to run on automatic, as it were. Our own sinful nature will take care of the rest. What's the cure? Again, we'll leave that for the end. Now, sin dirties the soul, dominates the mind, and disgraces the Lord. The fourth point, as we had already read from Psalm 51, David tells us when he realizes that what he has done, it depresses the heart. When you read that psalm, you can hear David's depression in that psalm. David realized this, and he realized that he had been acting contrary to what God desired from him and what God had been teaching him. It is just this desire of God and this teaching of God that are his hope. You know, and the same applies to you and me today. In verse 8, David pleads with the Lord, as we can read, Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. David realized that his depression flowed out of his own sinful actions. He had given in to his own desires. He forgot that it was God who was his provider. It was God to whom he owed his strength. Everything he had came from God. I would like us to remember that if it happened to David, it can happen just as easily to each one of us. Happened to you and me. That's something that we need to remember, that everything that we have belongs to and comes from our Heavenly Father. What's the cure? Well, that'll come later. We'll cover that. Sin dirties the soul, dominates the mind, disgraces the Lord, and depresses the heart. Moving on to the fifth point, it defiles the spirit. In verse 10 of Psalm 51, we read David's plea, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." We've just sung about that, haven't we, this morning? You see, sin creates a sour spirit, and the sour spirit affects everything and everyone around it. It's similar to the parable of a little yeast. You know, little yeast affects the whole batch of dough, and so does the sour spirit. It affects how we relate not only to God, but to our friends and to our family. And as we've already noted, it will cause depression that no amount of counselling or medication will help or remove. What's the cure? You're going to have to wait a wee bit longer. So we've covered sin dirties the soul, dominates the mind, disgraces the Lord, depresses the heart, defiles the spirit. I'm sure you'll be glad we're moving on to the sixth and final point. Sin can destroy your testimony. How can we witness for God if we are steeped in sin? Can we? I don't think so. Why? Why do I think that? Simply because it would probably be the last thing on our mind. You know, our mind would be dominated by what we were doing, the sin that we were in. Our relationship with the Lord would not be right. How can we overcome this? Well, David had the right idea in verse 15 of Psalm 51. He realized that he could do nothing in his own strength. So he pleads, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." David needed a touch from God to sort him out. And you know, the same goes for you and me. We need a touch from the Lord to lift our spirits whenever they're at a low ebb, to improve our testimony, to give us the strength to rely upon him, to release the depression felt in our hearts, to clear our minds so that we can focus on him and what's important, and to refresh our souls. Now, most of us here have credit cards, which we may use regularly. Now, if we pay off the bill at the end of the month in full, all's well. But if we only pay off the minimum amount required continually, those bills can and will grow quickly. and maybe out of control, maybe even to a point where they become unmanageable. I suppose there are the odd few people. Notice I said the odd few people and not a few odd people. Who don't have a bank account. But mark my word, everyone, yes, everyone, has a sin account. The scripture tells us in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, if your sin account is not managed correctly, it too can soon get out of control, just like the mismanaged credit card account. Only the penalty will be far greater. As all of us have a sin debt, there is only one who is in a position to cancel out that debt, and that is Jesus. As the hymn writer put it, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. It was Jesus who went to the cross where he died at Calvary to pay the price for our redemption. When we come into this world as a newborn, we come naked and empty-handed. And when we die and leave it again, we will be doing it exactly the same way. We can't take anything with us. Is that statement true? I'm sure you've all heard the statement, there are no pockets in shrouds. There are people who believe that when they die and leave this world behind, they will be free from all of the worry. All their worries will be over. They'll have no more financial pressure. They won't have to worry about the state of their bank account, how much is outstanding on their mortgage, family problems, or anything else. It will become someone else's problem, and all of their cares will be over. And you know what? They're right. All of their cares will be over. But, and it is a big but, there is a caveat, only if they have cleared their sin account, only if they have accepted Jesus' offer of salvation and have repented and their names have been entered in the heavenly account book, or to give it its proper title, the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, their problems are only starting, and they will last an eternity. What a thought. My friends, whatever you do, make sure your sin account is taken care of. If you haven't already accepted the Lord Jesus, your Lord and Savior, I would strongly recommend that you seek him in prayer. And don't leave it till tomorrow, because we're not promised a tomorrow. We're only ever promised today and hope for tomorrow. The final answer we've all been waiting for, even though I believe we all already know it. We need to examine ourselves honestly. It's no good trying to hide anything from God, for he sees and knows us better than we know ourselves. Scripture tells us he knew us when we were being knit together in our mother's womb. So he knew from the beginning to the end. He knows what's in front of us, what's behind us, so we can't hide anything from him. Pray to the Lord for forgiveness when prompted by the Holy Spirit. Pray for forgiveness and for the strength to turn away from sin, to repent. If the sin or problem caused involves or impacts upon others, then we need also to seek their forgiveness. Don't be like an ostrich burying her head in the sand. We need to acknowledge what we need to do. And after we have done all of that, we again need to pray to the Father and thankfully acknowledge that forgiveness, claiming the cleansing and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to help us to deal with all the sin in our lives and prevent any return to it. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't take it away. He prompts you to ask for forgiveness from the Heavenly Father through Jesus. And Jesus' righteousness allows us to go before His throne of grace and prayer. And Scripture tells us whatever we ask in His name will be granted to us. So there is no need for us to worry about having a dirty soul, having the mind dominated by sin, disgracing the Lord, depression of our heart, defiling of our spirit, destroying our testimony. We need to do what David did and take it to the Lord in prayer. As we read in Psalm 51 in verse 12, and with this I'll finish. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. It's as simple as that. Ask the Lord to restore the joy of salvation and to grant you a willing spirit to sustain you. Without His Spirit, without His strength, as I said, we would be at sea. We would have nowhere to go. We'd be in a rowing boat, as it were, without an oar. Yeah. We need His power to sustain us. So let's just come before His throne and ask Him to bless His word to us this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that all Your promises are yes and amen, and we can rely upon You in all circumstances. Nothing is too difficult for You, Lord, as we sing about now and again. But Lord, at times we try to do things in our own strength. We think, oh, this is easy. And it's not until we get ourselves in a tangle that we realize that we need Your help. So Lord, we just pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit indwelling in us, that You will keep reminding us when we need to make a clean chest of things, as it were, and to come before You and seek forgiveness, which is always there. Your word tells us that You not only forgive us, You forget our transgressions. So Lord, we just thank You for Your word. We pray that You'll continue to bless us and help us to carry on promoting Your great commission in this place and throughout the world. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.